Tonight we're going to go over a study we did a few years ago. It's called The Power of Praise. Amen. Psalms 113 verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name be praised." Now, probably the first time I really started to study God's word. I mean, I'd been grown up in church, so I always was going to church. But the first time I started to really independently study was actually after I met my wife. She wasn't my wife at the time, but she had this book. And she had been reading this book, and she gave it to me, and it was called The Power in Praise. And that was some, 45 years ago or now. And it was called The Power in Praise. And it was the first time I had really studied a religious book. But it was so powerful, the stories it told of how God brought deliverance just through the simple act of worship, just through praising Him. And I learned something through that, that there is a key that you can use to get out of your prison.
Amen.
Amen. And it's just that simple act of praise. So we're going to study tonight about praise and worship, the power that's in praise. Amen. First of all, praise can come in worship. And worship is really when you just start to lift up the name of God, not because He's done something for you, but because of who He is. Amen. God doesn't have to do anything for you today to start to worship Him and to thank Him for His goodness and His grace. Amen. In fact, the second most powerful thing is just to be grateful. You know, you may not have a dime to your name. You may not have a place to stay, but you can still be thankful. You are alive to draw breath. You are able to lift up your hands. You are able to give God something. Amen. So that is part of worship, and that is thankfulness. That is so powerful and so underestimated. Just a prayer of thanksgiving. Amen. Have you ever done that? Just start to thank God.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for all that you have done. Thank you even for the tribulations and trials, because I have grown through those tribulations and trials. You see, the power that's in praise that people don't understand is that praise is actually a very serious weapon. You can use that against the enemy. You can use that to defeat Satan if you have that praise on your heart all the time. It can be used as a weapon. And in fact, praise, think about it, is really faith in action. Amen. So Jacob is praising God now. Amen. Amen. So we can think of praise as faith in action, because you start to worship God before something happens, and that's really praise in action. Amen. So I'm going to discuss all of these things tonight, how worship, just simple worship, thanking God for who He is, not for what He's done, and being thankful even for the trials in life, because they serve a purpose, and that how your praise can be one of your greatest weapons, and how faith in action is when we start to praise God. Amen. Why should we praise God? Well, the scripture says in Psalm 150 verse 6, "Let everything that hath breath praise God." Now let's look at this scripture in a little bit more detail. Praise discharges strength in faith, because we can see that most of the time that David won battles is because he started to exalt the King of Kings before the battle. He started to brag on God. "Well, my God is bigger than you, Goliath. You're just an uncircumcised Philistine. But I serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords." In fact, Psalms 8:2 says, "From the lips of infants, children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, silent to silence the foe and the avenger." Let's study that verse. Do you understand what it's saying? Praise silences the enemy. Let me say it again. Praise silences the enemy. I remember when I was a teenager and going through teenage battles, The one thing I would do sometimes is I'd come home and I'd sit at the piano and I'd start to play. And no matter how I was feeling at the beginning, after about half an hour, my song started to change. It started to get more joyful. And then when by the time I finished, I would get up and I'd feel so much better. I'd go, wow, that feels so much better. You know what? I was praising God with the musical instrument. Amen. Maybe you can't play, but you can praise God with your lips. Because the Bible says when we praise God, it silences the foe and the avenger. Satan doesn't know what to do with you when you start to praise God. Because he thinks you should be crying and weeping. And when you start to praise God, you make him start to scratch his head. Like, what is with this lady? She just lost her job. She should be crying. Instead, she's worshiping God and giving thanks. Amen. Praising God also transforms the spiritual environment that we are around. 2 Chronicles 5:13, 4 illustrates this. The Levites gave praise and thanks to the Lord. And what happened in the temple? What happened is that when they started to worship? The glory of God. You invite God's presence. A preacher, a very famous preacher, said the only times God comes looking for you, anyone know? He seeketh true worshipers. You start worshiping, you don't have to go looking for God. He'll come looking for you. Isn't that exciting? You want God's presence, just start worshiping. Just start thanking him. Because the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. Let me take a step back and we're going to look at a story in the Old Testament and just study how praise works. Well, you know the story of the walls of Jericho, that Israel had come to these walls that were supposedly impregnable. They were 60 feet tall and 20 feet wide. Chariots could race around the top. And the city of Jericho was so sure that no matter what, the Israelites could not come in there. So let's just read that. God gave Joshua instructions how to defeat a wall. Are you facing a wall? Are you facing some cities of Jericho? So Joshua 6:20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout. And what happened? The wall fell down. Instead of sometimes, you know, just asking God to do something, maybe what we should do is just start praising him. Lord, I just thank you. I know this is a wall in front of me, but I know that you are greater than this wall. I don't know how I'm going to get through this problem, but you are greater than my problem. I don't know what the doctor says about this sickness, but you are greater than my sickness. I'm just going to worship you. The scripture says we worship in the beauty of holiness. Amen. So, wasn't it strange? This showed how praise became a weapon. They could not have knocked down this wall with their hands or even, you know, with shovels or mallets. All they did was to shout. They walked around, obeyed the word of God, and they heard the trumpet, and then they gave a great shout. And the wall fell down flat, so the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Without actually having to draw any swords. All it was praise. Amen. Praise. Amen. Are you facing a problem right now? How about we do a prayer of just praise? Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for this problem. Isn't it Sunday? Paul said, I have learned to be abased and to abound. See, when we start giving God thanks for our situation, then Satan doesn't know what to do with us. That's a situation he doesn't know what to deal with. When we start to worship, even when we don't feel like it, even when we're in the midst of a crisis. And I've told you so many times, probably the greatest example of that is David. No wonder God called him a man after his own heart. Because here we have David praying for his baby. And you can't think of anything more precious than that your child is sick and you want them healed. And yet, after 7 days, the baby died. Now most of us would get mad at God. We'd quit church and we'd get mad at God. First thing David does is anoint himself, go to the house of the Lord and worship. Let's think about that. Now, how do you do that unless you have such a love for God and you trust Him? See, Satan must have been scratching his head. I think David is done for. I think David is done for. You know, his child is sick, and I'm going to make sure that that child, he's done for. You think you're going to have a king, Israel? You're going to have nobody when this is over. In fact, the servants all believed that, didn't they? They were scared to tell him what was going to happen because, you know, he was fasting and praying when the child was alive. Now the child is dead. This may just send him over the edge. But instead, the Bible said he anointed himself, went to the house of the Lord, and worshipped. What an example of faith. No wonder God called him a man after his own heart. If we could get that kind of resolve, that no matter what, we're going to worship, I think that that is the highest form of prayer. And not asking God for stuff, but just thanking Him. Hallelujah. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight, not a sword drawn. You know, sometimes we attack the problem with the wrong weapon. What if we used our praise weapon? What? You got a praise weapon? Oh yeah, I've got a praise weapon. You know, I'm not a fan of tambourines. But I know Sister Mary and my mother. My mother could play that tambourine. Some of you who have been here a long time know that she could get out that tambourine. And she couldn't play a drum, but she could certainly play a tambourine. Amen. She was going to worship with that tambourine till there was, you know, no devil in here. She was going to beat that tambourine loud and shake that tambourine. Ooh, if you're not a worshiper, you would want to go. See, God has called us to praise. He has called us to worship. 1 Peter 2:5 says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices." Praise can be a sacrifice. You know when it's a sacrifice? When you're in pain. When you don't want to praise. When the last thing you want to do is sing. The children of Israel knew about that. They had been taken captive to Babylon. And the Babylonians came to them and said, "We heard that you are singers. You are great praises. Come on, sing us a song." That's the last thing they wanted to hear. We're slaves and captives, and you want us to sing a joyful song? But that's exactly when you need to sing. You know, the scripture says that they took them by the rivers and demanded a song. I'm telling you, sometimes that's the only way you're going to get out of your situation. You may have no other clue how to escape it, but we can praise. Hallelujah. We are supposed to be lively stones. Now, I think what that means, you know, the stone that has been in a river, you know what happens to it after a few years? Gets smooth. Because it's been rolling on, it becomes lively because the water and the power of the way of the water has knocked off all the edges. It becomes nice and smooth. The Bible says we should be lively stones. That means God's refreshing water should move us. It should knock off all the edges. See? And are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. What is a spiritual sacrifice? It's a praise. It's a prayer of thanksgiving. It's telling God, "I love you." Not because you've done anything, just because you're my God. Amen. I mean, most of us who have had good parents, we love them, right? We're sorry to see them go. Why? Because we have a relationship. When you have a relationship with God, He doesn't have to do anything except be God. You're happy that you have a relationship. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people." Why are we all of that? The scripture gives us the answer, that He should show forth the what? Praises. Yes, we are peculiar. We don't come to church and just sit there. You ever see any of these game show people when they win some money? Can you keep them quiet? No, they're going, they're running down there. They want to jump on the guy. He's trying to back up. They're so excited. And all they've done is call their name. They haven't won anything yet. They still got to spin the wheel. But they have an expectation because their name has been called. The Bible said we should rejoice because not that we can cast out demons, not that we get, but that our name is written. That alone should make you rejoice. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, you don't have to be able to cast out demons. The disciples were rejoicing because they'd had miracles. And Jesus said, that's good, but that's not the real reason you should rejoice. You should rejoice just that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You may never have another miracle, but if your name is written in the Lamb's, you can still rejoice. You may have lost your job, but if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you can rejoice. The doctor can say, oh, we're going to have to cut that limb off, but you can still rejoice because you're going to get a new body. Why? Because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. First Peter tells us we're supposed to be a peculiar people. We should wear that with pride. Oh, you speak in tongues? Oh, yes, I do. Amen. People don't understand that. They think you're weird. The Bible says we are a peculiar people, a holy nation, but that he should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has set us up, and our whole being is directed to give him thanks, to give him praise. Amen. Praising God also has this added benefit. It gives you favor with God. It gives you, aren't you more happy when your children are thankful than when they're ungrateful? Don't you feel more inclined to do more for them when they thank you? You know, okay, you know, something you weren't going to do, but they were so grateful, it made you do more. Made you do more than you even were going to do. But because they were grateful and thankful. One of the reasons why the children of Israel did not make it, most of them, to the promised land, the Bible says they were unthankful, ungrateful. And the Bible says that that is one of the end time signs, that people will become unthankful, ungrateful. That's it. It's only what you can do for me tomorrow and today. I have no thought or care about you. It's all me, I, and myself. See, but as Christians, that's not how we're supposed to function. No. See, we should be thankful. I am thankful for you that you're my sister. I'm thankful for you that you're my brother. Amen. I am thankful that we're in a church that God calls a peculiar people. A holy nation. That's what we're called to be. And the focus of it is so that we can give praise. When was the last time you just praised God? Just thanked him. Amen. Let me tell you something. That is the key to blessing and favor. When you thank God, you know what that means? He wants to give you more stuff. That stuff may just be spiritual. It may just be spiritual victory, but that pleases God. When we are thankful, it's pleasing to God. Acts 2:47 says about the early church. It says, praising God. That's what they did when they met in the early church. You know what they were doing? They were so thankful because they had this new gift called the Holy Spirit. And this new revelation that now they were not under the law. They didn't have to bring all of these sacrifices. They were so happy. The Bible says they met praising God and having favor with all the people. And because of that, then the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. When people come in here, they should never want to leave. They want whatever we have. Amen. They should put down all the weed and the whatever and say, I want what you have. They should have a dose of the Holy Spirit, not the other kind of spirit. You see, the other thing about praise is, I tell you, it will change your attitude. You may come in here one way, but on a Sunday, and you just start to worship. And worship and worship. And you can leave different. Do you know that in the temple, the new temple, that's the rule. You're not allowed to go out the same door you came. In the millennial temple, the Bible says they're going to come in one way and go out the other. You know what that signifies? A transformation, a change. God does not want you leaving his service the same way you came in. And one of the keys to achieving that is just to start being thankful. Lord, you brought me here tonight on a Tuesday night. I'm in the house of God. Amen. I'm hearing a word of encouragement. I'm thankful for that. Amen. True praise will change your attitude. True praise will change your attitude. I found that to be true. I can't sing, so I go play. But my wife can sing. She'll start off singing, and she'll be singing and singing and singing. And when she's done singing, she's got a different attitude. True praise will change your attitude. You feeling in a bad mood? Just start thanking God. Thanking God, praising Him, worshiping Him. Because praising God gives you favor. Think about that. Pray. You know, there's some just easy things that we could do that as Christians we don't do. I mean, it costs you nothing other than to open your lips and to go against your flesh. But it's not costing you money to worship God. Amen. Praising God releases prisons. Releases you out of bondage. Acts 16:25. You know this story so well. Paul and Silas, they're in prison, about to be executed, been beaten, been whipped, been locked up in stocks. They can't even move. Their feet are bound. Their hands are bound. They're in the bottom part of the prison where it's wet and probably beyond description. Not a place where me and you would probably be singing. we'd be probably saying, Satan would be talking to us and saying, you see, God doesn't love you. How come you end up in here? How can you be in the will of God and be in prison? Well, Paul and Silas were. They were in the prison so that they could release some prisoners. That's why they were in prison. God will put you in a place where you can reach other people. And one of the ways is through your praise. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. You know, I can't. I'm trying to imagine that what kind of praises they're singing. Lord, we just thank you. We're here. These prisoners are. They did not keep quiet. They were singing to the whole world, to the walls, and because of that, God released their bonds. And suddenly, your situation can change. God can bring an earthquake into your situation, and suddenly, some things can change, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately, all the doors were opened. Your praise can release somebody else's prison. You know, joyfulness is infective. I like being around joyful people. Not going to call any names, but there's some people who are always joyful. It's okay to be around them. Amen. Now, I have to admit, I'm not always joyful, so I'm preaching to myself. I need to be a praiser. Amen. And immediately, all the doors were opened and everyone's. The two of them were bound, but do you understand what happened here? God released everybody's bonds. Everybody else in the prison was released to the point where the jailer was terrified. He thought there was going to be a prison break and his life was going to be forfeit if he lost a prisoner. He was about to kill himself. And Paul said, no, don't do that. Because of praise and worship, the prisoners were released. And not only that, the prison warden and his whole family got saved. You see, praise is faith in action because we start to praise before we can see the result. We start to worship before we can see the result. And when we do that, God is not going to just sit there. He's going to react. Amen. The Bible says by two immutable things that God will not cannot tell a lie. And he's given us some promises. Amen. Look, we're going to look in 2 Chronicles, and this is also a very famous scripture where Judah was being attacked and they were outnumbered. And it looked hopeless. And look what happened. 2 Chronicles 20:21. And when he had consulted the people, he appointed singers. Wait a minute. Where's the soldiers? No, we're going to send the singers. Come on, I never heard of this. You're going to send the singers? You're going to send the worshipers to fight? You're going to send the worshipers to fight this army? Wait a minute, Jehoshaphat. That's not right. Don't you understand? Don't you understand the reality of your situation here? There's an army out there with spears and swords. And you're going to send the singers? And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now on the other side, I can see them looking and going, is that the choir? They're sending. These people are crazy. They're singing songs. And we're ready to chop their... They're singing songs. But listen what started to happen. The Lord set an ambush against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir when they came against praise. When the devil comes against praise, there's only one outcome. Because that's what Judah means. When the devil came against praise, God decided, you know what, I'm going to have to show up here. And they were smitten. And when Judah came, they didn't even have to fight. Came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. Do you understand that the singers did what the army could not do? Your praise will do what you can't do. I challenge you in your situation to just start thanking God. I thank you, God, for my family situation. Somehow out of this, Lord, you're going to bring deliverance. Somehow out of this, Lord, you're going to save my children. Somehow out of this, Lord, you're going to heal this relationship. Instead of us trying to work it out. Amen. 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 They thought Jehoshaphat was crazy. But because of putting praise out there first, he lost not one soldier. If he had tried to actually send the army, they'd have probably been wiped out. You see, it's not to our own understanding. Isn't that what the Bible says? Lean not to your own understanding. And when Judah came towards the watchtower, they looked. All their enemies were dead. Just praise, just singing, just thanking God for all he has done. When you put praise out before yourself, it's really faith in action. That took some faith, because I'm sure everybody, his generals, will say, no, this is a stupid plan. You can't put the singers out there first. That don't make any sense. But it took faith. It takes faith to worship God in your situation. It took faith for Paul and Silas to be singing in a prison where they were expecting to maybe be executed the next day. But most of all, faith brings you into God. Praise and faith brings you on into God's presence. We talked about this before, 2 Chronicles 5:13. It came even to pass at the dedication of the temple. There was such great worship for 7 days. It came to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound. When you get, last time, let me see, we went to the youth convention in, forget when it was, about 3 or 4 years ago, we went to the youth convention in Indianapolis. And the whole stadium, probably 30, 40,000 young people worshiping God, they went up a praise. I'm sure it cleared out the devil for about 50 miles for a few days. He couldn't stand that. He probably put his fingers in his ears and ran off somewhere. Got to go to a different city till they clear out. It came to pass, even as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice, this was at the dedication of probably the most beautiful building that had ever been made for God's worship that man could make on earth. They lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud. See, when you worship God, you invite his presence. The Bible says he seeketh true worshipers. God will come to you when you start to give him true praise, because that is the true incense that comes out off the altar of incense. Our prayers should be praise. As I've said many times to you, I don't know what kind of prayer Adam and Eve had in the garden, but it couldn't be asking for anything. What did they need? All they could do is be thanking God. Lord, thank you. I tried that fruit over there and it tasted like prime rib. I don't know how you did it, Lord. In Jamaica, we have a tree called a breadfruit. And it has the texture of bread. I believe that in the garden they had so many different fruits and things. All Adam and Eve could have done in their conversation, in their prayer, so to speak, with God would be to thank him. Lord, I don't know what you've done with the Shekinah glory, but it's this morning I'm shimmering all gold and yellow. That's a beautiful color. I think it suits my complexion. And God would say, well, tomorrow I'm going to make it green and purple. You know, heaven isn't going to be the way we think it is. Because you can't think how it's going to be. It's going to be better than you can think. And we enter into God's presence by giving him a sacrifice of praise. When the thousands, if not millions, of the children of Israel gathered in Jerusalem and started to lift up the name of Jesus and started to worship, the presence of God came down. And it filled the house. If we start to worship, his presence will come down and change you, change your attitude, change your situation. You know, the other thing that praise does, it changes our thinking. When we start to worship God, we dispel all the evil forces that have been trying to cloud our mind and change our thinking. Most of the time, we're not thinking straight. When I look back on my stupid decisions, I realize, why in heaven's name did I think to do that? You ever had that conversation with yourself? Why in heaven's, now, you know, looking back now, I can see how, what thoughts made me do this? Well, if you want a cure for that, just start worshiping God. You'll start to think straight. It'll clear the atmosphere. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. Let me translate. Whatsoever things are honest, praise. Whatsoever things are pure, praise. Whatsoever things are lovely, praise. Whatsoever things are of good report, praise. You know what he's telling you to do? Praise. If there be any praise, think on these things. Our decision making will improve 100-fold. Because we'll be so much closer to the Spirit and sensitized to be guided by what God wants instead of what our flesh wants. Praise will change your thinking. You know what you should do before any big decision? Have a worship first. Have a praise fest. Put on your best gospel music. Start singing it before you even decide. I'm going to take about 15 minutes to have a praise fest. Then I'm going to start to make my decision. Because in doing that, you're inviting God's presence. You're clearing the atmosphere. I don't want to have to look back and say, why did I do that? What was I thinking? Obviously, I wasn't praising God enough. Amen. We see that he talks about the children even praising God. In Matthew 21, in chapter 16 and 15, he says, but when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children, when he came in that last time, they started to sing Hosanna to the Son of David. They got jealous. Satan will get jealous. He'll get mad at your worship and your praise. Do you hear what the children are saying? Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise? See, Satan will be jealous of your praise because that's what he wants you to give to him. He can't stand praise. It's the best devil repellent there is. It's like off to mosquitoes when you start to praise God. That's what it is. Praising God also has another benefit. You know what? Keeps you humble. It'll keep you humble because you're not giving glory to yourself. You're acknowledging God's goodness and his mercy and his grace. So praise will help you keep your ego in check. Amen. Matthew 18:3. You know what Jesus said about the children? He said, except Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now you put Matthew 18:3 with Matthew 21. What were the children doing? Hosanna. Hosanna. Don't you hear what the children are saying? See, we need to be like little children and just start to worship. You know, not because he's my grandson, but my brother Joe and Jason, they do their exercise every Sunday. Now he may, to his mind, he's just loving it that he can sing. But really, he's fulfilling this scripture. Amen. But let me come to my last point. This is going to be a short lesson. I packed a lot into it. You have to choose to praise. It's not going to happen. Oh, it's easy when you just got some big money. Then you can't move the smile from your face. You're happy. But you have to choose to praise God when things are not going so well. That's when it's the most, that's when it's a sacrifice. You know, when I have good news, it's not hard to be happy. Oh, wow, this is great. Smile to come naturally. It's when you're not feeling that. That's when you have to choose to praise God. Joshua said, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. A choice to serve God means you're going to be joyful even in your situation. Jesus was, the Bible said, who for the joy was set before him, endured. You got to endure your season sometimes. Because there will be joy at the end of it. And you have to get your praise on to get through it. Amen. Just like Paul and Silas. Praising God is a choice. You know what you have to do? You have to put it on. You have to get up and actually put on the garment. Isn't that what the scripture says? You got to put on the garment of praise. You can choose not to put it on and come in here and all be like, wonder what he's going to say tonight. Man, that was a dry service. That's a dry service. All he's talking about is prophecy, prophecy. Praising God is a choice. Here's what is in Isaiah 61, the same scroll that Jesus read when he started his ministry. He said, he came to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You have to put it on. He has provided it. It's hanging up there. Now go get up and put it on. You see, it says that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. See, it's so easy to wallow in our distress and in all the bad things that we're facing and all the situations that are scaring us. But I challenge us to put that down and, despite what the devil is doing, put on a garment of praise. Just start thanking him. Lord, I don't understand why I'm where I am, but I'm going to thank you. Who knows if suddenly there won't be an earthquake and your situation will be released and the people around you too. Amen? Let's stand. Sure, I let you out early tonight. You know why? So you can praise. Amen. Here's something else that praise will do. It will reveal God's purpose in your life. Amen. That's what praise will do. Look at this. Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord, when you minister to the Lord, what do you think you're doing? That's right. The only thing we can give to the Lord is praise. So when you minister, so the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. You see, when you start to praise God, your purpose will be revealed. What? See all these benefits that God has set up in such a simple concept as worship. When you start to praise God, his purpose in your life will start to be revealed. When you just start to thank him. So when they started to praise, it was revealed that God had called Barnabas and Paul and said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul for the work whereinto I've called them. See, there is such a power that we ignore in our situation that God has made available. So, Joshua 6:20, I'll end with what I started. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout, the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. I'm telling you, even though we don't feel like it, even though it's not what our flesh wants to do, we need to put on the garment of praise. We need to put on the garment of praise. When we do that, there's some miracles going to happen. Some walls are going to fall down. God's presence is going to come around you. You're going to have a change of thinking. Your purpose will be revealed. Your direction will be made clear. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. You see, when we came in here tonight, maybe you had all kinds of things on your mind. I hope you're leaving different than you came, with a praise on your lips. Don't anyone leave here tonight without thanking God. No matter what your current situation, He can send an earthquake and turn it around. He can release the prisoners. He said in Isaiah 61, that was one of His purposes, to comfort those that mourn. Right? To comfort and to provide a garment of praise. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're going to close this Bible study, but let's put on that garment of praise. Let's take that with us. Let's make sure when we get up tomorrow morning, the first thing we say is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You are my King and you are my Lord. You are the banner of love over me. You are my provider. Hallelujah. You are my Jehovah Nissi. You're my Jehovah Rapha. You're my Jehovah Tisakenu. Hallelujah. You're my Jehovah Rophi. You're my Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. There is so much we can thank Him for. Most of all, He's my comforter. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our hearts. Father, we thank You tonight for Your word. Lord, let it find good soil. Let us become worshipers. Let us invite Your presence. Oh God, we ask You, Lord, to just fill us with that cloud to the overflow, Lord God. Let Your presence surround us. Oh, hallelujah. We thank You in advance for Your goodness and Your grace, Your mercy and Your love, and Your healing power, Your deliverance above all. Lord, we thank You for bringing down walls, for opening prisons, hallelujah, for releasing bondages, and we give You the praise and the glory tonight, in Jesus' name.